We welcome in Jeff Munn, part of the Diamondbacks broadcast team. Money Man, how are you today?
I'm good, Marty. It's a pleasure to be, after all these years in radio, I finally get to be on KNBR 680, the sports leader.
Yeah, you did. I'm going to let you do the out then. That was very good. Very good. Hey, last night, again, we talked about it. I know the call-in show last night was a couple of hours of talking about the end of that game last night. But I think, you know, the whole part of that game, there were so many things that happened in the game. It did come down to the one pitch to Affeldt. And that's the dividing line in the game. That save can come at any moment, sixth inning, fifth inning, eighth inning. And the Giants just didn't get it done last night. But it was a good baseball game. Oh. I mean, we saw Giants baseball. As I said to the audience, good defense. Matt Cain pulled it together. Blanco, Belt, Sandoval had clutch hits to score the run. Blanco, especially off a tough pitcher, Corbin, one of the best in the league, and Belt had good swings as well. So it came down to Affeldt, and it just didn't work.
Yeah, and you're right, Marty. I think if you're looking at it from the Giants' perspective, there are a lot of things to feel good about, even in spite of the loss. And you mentioned one of my partners, Tom Candiotti, and he pointed out after the game that he thought – that with Cain, it was a matter of he's going up against Patrick Corbin, who's burst onto the scene. Yeah, and I think there was a part of him that said, I'm going to show this guy, you know, that I'm still one of the top pitchers in the National League, if not all of baseball. And I think, you know, and Candy's point, and I agree with him, is that Cain elevated his game for Corbin last night. I think Giant fans have to feel very good about the way he pitched. Yeah, was he getting squeezed in the first inning? It started to look that way because after he had his little discussion with Alan Porter, he was a totally different customer and just locked in. And so I think in that regard, Giant fans have to feel pretty good. Yeah, you know, the offense is struggling right now.
It is.
You pointed out Kane's start was a lot like Zito's on Wednesday against Toronto, where, you know, it's okay, but the other guy is so strong. And you know, the offense has just been locked up the last couple of days. But I think if, you know, again, we saw it. We have our own, we have a post-game show, as we call it in the industry, called Diamond Talk.
Yeah, you got post-game wrap.
Right. And okay. It's modeled after, I'll confess, it's modeled after what you all have done for years with the Giants broadcasters. And one of the things that we talked about last night, I mean, we obviously talked about the decision to pitch to Goldschmidt. Look, we know Bruce Bochy's forgotten more baseball than most anybody in this ballpark is ever going to remember. So it was just a mistake. It didn't work out. We've seen it with Kirk Gibson. I was telling you during commercial break, we had a game on Mother's Day against the Phillies where we're 2-0 after 8. Brandon McCarthy has pitched the best game he's pitched since becoming a Diamondback, had thrown 88 pitches, but it's 2-0, and the decision is made to lift him after 8. He really hadn't had an outing even close to that. So you kind of felt like asking him to go out for the ninth might be pushing it a little. Heath Bell comes in, gives up 2 runs to tie the game. Philly score 2 in the 10th. And the next day, Kirk Gibson is the village idiot because how could you possibly pull Brandon McCarthy? Well, look, if Bell pitches the way he normally has since going back into the closer's role for J.J. Putz, this isn't even an issue. If Affeldt doesn't leave one that Goldschmidt can get a hold of, we're probably not talking about Bochy did this and Bochy did that wrong. So it's one of the beauties of the game, but I don't think, you know, Bruce Bochy all of a sudden has forgotten how to manage his club.
No, there are reasons for doing things. And, you know, he wanted Affeldt in there in that situation. He's been his guy in the eighth inning all year, lefties or righties. But as we say, the Blomquist walk didn't help, and it looked like he almost lost concentration in that one. He just left a couple of balls high and away and didn't finish those pitches. When I saw that, I said, well, that's enough. I said, with Goldschmidt coming up, I said, you know, and I did. I mean, I said it ahead of time. I'm not second-guessing it. I said, look, why give this guy a chance to beat you? He's the hottest hitter on the planet, next to Puig.
Well, and I admit, I don't know when they got Machi up, but he was up in the pen. Yeah. And I looked down there during the Blomquist at-bat, and I thought, well, if he loses, even if he didn't lose Blomquist, they said they got to be going to Machi against Goldschmidt. And they didn't. You know, one thing I've heard pitchers say over the years, if the instructions from Dave Rigetti were, and if you remember, Rigetti went out and talked to him.
Right.
And then I thought to myself, they must be buying time. That I kept watching Rigetti when he went back to the dugout, and I thought, okay, Bochy's going to come out now. And he didn't. So my point is, when Rigetti went out there to talk to him, obviously they said, don't give him anything, you know, if you need to pitch around him, pitch around him. I've heard pitchers say over the years that if you get into a situation where it's not an intentional walk, but you're aiming out of the zone, sometimes it's a little hard to get your focus back. And it's hard on pitchers.
That.
It's hard for pitchers to intentionally aim out of the zone. Not a waste pitch, but a pitch that's definitely deliberately, I don't even want you to go after it.
Well, and then to come back and get the next guy.
Right.
See, then you got two walks in a row, and I think that's part of what Bochy probably was thinking about at that point. And, you know, Romo is available and all that. But you know something? It was a great game.
Oh, it's terrific.
It's a great talking game because in today's world with the internet and with scouting and with the blogs and tweeting and everything else, we're all in this together.
Yeah.
And we all know the matchups. And we all know, all right, it's a lefty, a righty, Goldschmidt is up, the game's on the line, get him out of there. You know, so we're all into it together. It's not like we're disconnected.
Right.
And all of a sudden, a million people are tweeting each other about that particular situation. So that's the life of managing today and being a baseball fan today. We're all in it together.
And to Boch's credit, he doesn't get rattled at all by the intensity, the scrutiny that a guy faces, especially in a city like San Francisco, where the Giants really are under a pretty intense spotlight most of the time. He handles it incredibly well.
Yeah, Jeff Munn is with us. You know, it's a familiar voice if you ever listen on the internet to Diamondback Baseball, of course, on the radio. Jeff, let's move away from the game. All right, enough of that last night. We know what happened and how it ended up today. The sun did come up in Arizona.
Yeah.
I saw it this morning, and it's a beautiful day. Another day for baseball. All right, this division is getting very interesting to me. And as I've said before, the Diamondbacks are in it. I love the way they play. Now, Corbin is out of sight. Corbin's going to be an all-star. Let's see what happens. It's like Kershaw. After Kershaw, let me see the rest of it.
Yeah.
And again, after Corbin, now we got Cahill and Skaggs coming up. Let's see what they do. But the Rockies are growing on me. Cargo last night, a couple of triples, and he hurt his ankle. I don't know what his status is. Jeff Francis is back. John Garland is DFA'd. Tyler Colvin is up. And Outman has been sent back to the minors for Colorado. So they're making their moves. The Dodgers, you never lose sight of them. I want to get your analysis of what you see. And, you know, there's going to be 100 to go after the end of this weekend.
Yeah, and I my first thought immediately is I've been waiting for the collapse of Colorado, and I base it on this. They have gone back to the formula that they used in the mid-90s, the Blake Street Bombers theory, when they brought on Bichette to add to the coaching staff for Walt Weiss. The theory was, we're going to go back to just telling guys, you know, swing aggressively. And so far it's worked. But at some point along the line, you got to be able to pitch. And I look at that rotation a couple of weeks ago, and I think it was Nicasio had a start against the Giants, and I don't remember if it was in Denver and San Francisco, where going in they were saying, oh, he's pitching for his spot in the rotation, and he had a very good start.
That was the one in Colorado, and then he pitched well in San Francisco after that.
Garland, who you just mentioned, got designated for assignment today. Same thing. Last time out, oh, he's pitching for a spot in the rotation. If you've got guys at the back end of your rotation that are struggling to just stay in the rotation, that doesn't sound like a contending team.
Yeah.
It just doesn't have the feel. Now they're bringing back Jeff Francis, who's a, you know, it's a terrific story, a guy who had pitched there before, went out, and at one point, I think at this time last year, he was down at AAA with the Reds and used an opt-out to get out of his deal.
Right.
But I look at that rotation, and I think, now how are they going to do this as we get into the dog days of August and September? Are they going to go out and try to make a deal to get? And I know that, you know, Oswalt is about ready to come up to the major league level. What has he got? So Colorado, I still have a lot of question marks. Giants, I told Dave Fleming this last night. I really think when we get down to September, these are the two teams that are really going to arm wrestle for the division title. The reason I back off on the Dodgers is, number one, once you get past Kershaw, you start, again, you have question marks about the pitching. And people say, what about Zach Greinke? He's never been in this spot before where he's pitching in a major market for a contending team. The guys that they brought in, we don't know when we're going to see Josh Beckett again. Ted Lilly can't stay healthy.
I like Ryu.
Ryu has been a really, he pitched against us early in the year and was dominant.
Pitched last night. He gave him a good game last night against the Braves.
Yeah.
A free swinging kind of team. But, I you know, being a Giants person, Giants fan, you never lose sight of the Dodgers. You never.
No.
You, and what about the you know, the man from Cuba that they brought up?
You know, Puig, and I watched the progress of them bidding just to be able to buy the rights to talk to him last summer. And then he went out in the spring, and I know you followed this very closely. He just had a tremendous spring training.
Yeah, he hit about 600 down there.
And then somewhere along the line, I know that he got a situation where he got pulled over for drunk driving in double-A ball, and people were starting to say, well, you know, maybe
I think
he's
it was actually reckless driving.
Reckless driving, you're
but
right.
But he didn't have a driver's license. I used to defend those cases.
That's right.
And no insurance.
Yes. You would know that.
Yes.
You would know the details
on
that.
Yeah, we used to do that.
And people with the Dodgers were quietly saying, I wonder about his maturity level.
Yeah.
But obviously he's come up and he's been tremendous. Like all great hitters, Goldschmidt included, the rubber meets the road when these pitchers start to adjust.
Yeah. Well, it's good. It's good. I'm glad that Jeff is here. Give us some perspective. And what is the roof closed as we were talking?
Yeah, we're closing it now. We'll play roof and panels
yeah.
closed tonight. We'll play, obviously, roof and panels closed tomorrow.
Oh, good. All
right. So it'll be comfortable in here.
You know, I thought it was like 80 degrees in here last night for the game.
First game back after a road trip, it's usually a little bit more. It'll probably be cooler tonight because, obviously, they leave the roof open when we're on the road, and the sunlight just gets in here, and the cement just soaks it up like a sponge.
Yeah, because Kane, and part of why I thought last night he shouldn't have come out for the eighth inning, he looked tired. After the seventh inning, I thought that was enough for him.
Yeah.
And they brought him out for Pollock, and he couldn't get Pollock. Then he was gone. But being in here last night, it was about over 80, and he was working. I mean, he was sweating in here, as we like to say. All right, Jeff, tonight it's Trevor Cahill, a righty, and Bumgarner. I won't ask you to talk about Bumgarner. We've seen him a couple of times against the Diamondbacks. He's pitched well. But what do we expect from Cahill tonight?
Well, and I know a lot of fans back in the Bay Area are familiar with Trevor from his days with the A's. And like a lot of sinker ball pitchers, if you're going to get him, the early innings are the time to get him as he starts to get comfortable with that sinker. And last year, he really struggled in the first innings of ball games. This year, he's had better outings. His ERA has stayed under 3 most of the year. He doesn't struggle quite as much with first inning problems getting settled in. There have been nights, there have been a couple of starts this year, where for one reason or another, the pitch count got run up on him. He was in the fifth inning and looking at 100 pitches because he just couldn't put guys away. There'd be a 10-pitch at-bat here, an 11-pitch at-bat there. Guys would get a piece of the ball, and they'd just stay alive in the count and drive the pitch count up. That's been his biggest problem.
You know, it's interesting you said that because his last start against St. Louis, 3 walks, no strikeouts.
Yeah.
That's unusual for
he's not
in 5 innings. So if you could drive his pitch count up, that's the way to deal. He did pitch against the Giants earlier down here. 8 innings, 4 hits, a run, a walk, and 5 strikeouts.
He's had some really outstanding outings. He had one in early April against Josh Beckett where both guys went the distance.
Yeah.
And the D-backs won it in the bottom of the ninth inning on a Paul Goldschmidt. There's that guy again, walk-off single in the bottom of the ninth. He's also had some good outings the last 2 years since coming to the D-backs against the Giants.
Yeah.
Had a perfect game into the seventh inning, I believe, at AT&T in late September.
Yeah, he killed them when he was with the A's, too. And
yeah.
That was when the trade was made, I said, uh-oh, he's now going to be, we're going to see him about 6 times a year instead of once or twice a year. Hey, nice to have you with us.
Good to see you, Marty.
A pleasure. It's always nice. We've been talking baseball with each other for years.
Yeah.
So it's always nice to have you on. I appreciate it. All right, we're going to let you do the out.
Okay.
Everyone, we're going to have more coming up right here on
KNBR 680, the sports leader.